Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to this program, and I'm glad that you're joining in today. But mostly, I am thankful that that you honor the Lord in your life and you honor God's Word in your life. I pray that all's well with you and that you're fighting a good fight of faith and that you trust the Lord, that you trust Him with all your heart. And you don't try to figure out things. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And God is faithful. I don't know how He does it because He's God. But He has never let me down, and He'll never let you down. If there's anything about these programs, that these recordings and our studying together that I would like for you to really get out of it, other than the Word of God and the knowledge of God's Word, is that you believe that you know that I love the Lord and that I'm sincere about Him. And I am. And every time I tell you that the Lord has never let me down, I mean it. He has never, ever let me down. And I don't expect Him to. And the longer you live for Him and you fight the good fight of faith, and the Bible says that after you have suffered a while, that the Lord strengthen, settle, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So see, we're appointed to suffer, and that's the way the Lord has done it. And I'm not talking about suffering like, some people, they suffer like martyrs and suffered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that it's pleasing to the Lord and it's admirable. The Lord finds it a good thing whenever you suffer for that you suffer for righteousness' sake and you suffer for standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ versus suffering for something that you did wrong. And the Lord finds that admirable and He blesses it. But we don't always suffer. The Lord doesn't make us suffer 24 hours. The Lord said His yoke was easy. And His burden is light. And it is. Even in the times of suffering and the times of being in the valley and the sad times and all the times that you can remember, and you can still say that you had a peace that passeth all understanding, that you knew the Lord was there and you knew that this was going to be over and that the Lord was on top of it. And sometimes I think that we, when we're in our suffering, and I don't say this because I want to suffer, but I think that when we're in our suffering, we understand and believe that God loves us more than whenever we're having the mountaintop experiences and being able to walk like that. So it all balances out, and who knows the mind of the Lord? That's why we study God's Word, is so we can know our Lord and our Savior even more and more and more. So thank you for listening in today. I'm not sure whether we're going to try to finish up this study on the letter N today, because I got some things I really want to show you at the end of this about being born again and about the new birth and what actually happens to the Christian, what takes place. And I told you about that before, of what actually takes place at the time of salvation, at the time that you were born again. And that has a variety of things having to do with the courtroom of God, having to do with the legalities of sin and forgiveness and remission of sins and the blood and the payment and all of that and everything that legally took place that allowed Almighty God to forgive you in such a way to where it was settled in His heart and it's settled in your heart. And you have eternal life, and you don't have to ever worry about God condemning you again. And it all turns out wonderful. But there's a lot of things that Christians don't know that has taken place. And those are the things I want to talk to you about. But still, we have a category or two that we need to finish up on the new birth, or not finish, but to study. And this is study number 14, the letter N in the ABCs. And we've been over quite a bit of things. We've learned quite a bit so far. We began talking about what being born again is not. You remember that? And then we went into talking about what born again really is. And we discussed that and learned some things in that. And then we talked about how a man is born again, actually how it takes place and what it's compared to, what actually takes place, the new birth, talking about we compared it to a natural birth, remember. And then the absolute necessity of the new birth. We talked about because of man's deadness and man's flesh and his inability to save himself, remember? And we talked about what being born again produces, and that should give us evidence of whether or not, that does give us evidence of whether or not we have been born again. I mean, that we bear fruit. And that being born again does bear fruit, whether you're trying to or not. It does bear fruit because God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. And while he's teaching you, he will bear fruit whether you feel like you're involved in it or not. He'll bear fruit through you. Whether it be you saying praise the Lord in the grocery line and somebody hearing that and going home and Holy Ghost talking to them about their life and everything for the rest of the evening or whatever. Whatever it might take, whatever he decides to do, but he does bear fruit with you. And if God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and you've been born again, you do bear fruit. You, unless you are running from the Lord and you completely just buried up to your neck in sin, sinful in your devilment, and you've been disobedient to the Lord, you're probably getting a whooping. And even then, you're bearing fruit because the Bible says that when the Lord chastens you, it yields holiness. So see, we make it out of it good either way. But bearing the Lord's strap is not exactly a comforting thing at the time it's going on. The Bible says it, and it's grievous. But the Lord said not to be discouraged, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But what being born again produces? It produces a new nature and a new creature and a changed life and a holy life. And the Bible says that's one of our goals. I mean, if you're looking for something to do in your life, practice being holy. All these people talk about what they do good and ain't got nothing to do in their life. And people talk about, well, I accomplished this and I accomplished this and I won a NASCAR race and I won a championship and I did this and I done that and all these achievements and everything else. All these tough guys and tough women and ERA and AB, blah, 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 whatever they, decide to name themselves and stand up and all this stuff. You want to try something that's honest and it's pure and it's sincere and it yields rewards for you, it benefits you all the time. You want to try something? Try being a Christian. Try getting born again. Get born again and then live as a Christian because you love your God and you're not going to let him down. Try that. You say all this stuff in the world is so hard and blah, 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 and all this stuff. I mean, if you want to do something sincere in your life and you want to do something rewarding and something that gives God glory and something that helps people and does change the world, try living a Christian life. The Bible says God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And what about righteousness? What about Christ's love? Victory, growth, knowledge. All these things are produced by being a Christian and being born again. Fruitfulness and discipline. Discipline. Something that all of us could use more of, right? Discipline. Discipline is a thing that we do. People talking about positive. That's how come there's not much discipline in the world anymore. and even among Christians, not much discipline. I mean, you can't get past it. I mean, if a Christian's misbehaving, it's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of whether he's obeying the Lord or disobeying the Lord. And if you're misbehaving, more than likely you're disobeying him. And the reason that you're disobeying him is because you're not disciplined. That's why the Lord has to discipline us, you see. But discipline's not very easy either. And you know what you got to do when you get when you're a disciplined person? You have to sacrifice. You have to suffer. You have to do it on purpose, because most of the time that you practice discipline, you're going against your own will. You're going against what that flesh wants. That flesh will argue with you about anything and everything. And most of the time when you're building up your discipline and your strength, and the Lord is helping you, it's a negative thing. Discipline ain't never a positive thing until the only time discipline is positive is when you're conquering it. And the Lord is helping you with strength so that you can be a disciplined person. One of the hardest things when I was teaching, when I was running a troubled men's camp up in Pennsylvania for those troubled men, you would be surprised. One of the hardest things that would teach them, one of the most simplest things that would teach them discipline, wouldn't be standing up straight and keeping your gig line straight and wearing your clothes properly and quit looking like look like a man and behave like a man and all this stuff. It wasn't any of that. You know, it was the things that were teaching discipline? Make your bed. Take a bath. You know, these things were the hardest things and the most difficult things for a grown man to discipline himself to do. Get up and make your bed every day. You say, well, what's the big deal about making your bed? Nothing. I mean, the bed's going to stay the same whether you make it or not. And nothing. It's the person. It's the discipline. You see. And that's the way the snow flies. But we're talking about the new birth and talking about what the new birth being born again does produce. It does produce. So today we're going to talk about some things that the new birth is described as. The Bible does talk about the new birth, and it compares it to some things, and gives a description of the new birth in another in other ways. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh." And one thing that the new birth is described as in Ezekiel there, where we just read, is one heart. There's one heart. The Bible says, and I will give them one heart. One heart. The Bible says that there's one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, and here we see that the new birth is described as one heart. Another thing that the Bible is described, or the new birth is described as, is the resurrection, or a resurrection, or the resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, you'll see what I mean. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 through 10, listen to this. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, you see that he's talking symbolically, don't you? Because you're not buried, you're not under the ground right now. You are buried symbolically in his death, you see. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," there's likeness again, "we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Knowing this, and I don't know how many times we could praise the Lord for that statement by itself, the likeness of his resurrection. We get a new mind, we get a new body, we get all new stuff just like him. And man, I sure can use it, can't you? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's why your body is going to go back to the grave, because it is an old man and it is cursed and it's yucky and it's going to go back to the dirt, and the Lord's going to redo that thing and give it back to you, and it's going to be perfect like unto his glorious body. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died once. He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So, you see, the new birth is described as a resurrection, as a resurrection. That we have hope. I was just preaching in a church this past weekend, and I preached on hell. And I told them that if they did not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the Bible says, that that's the only way to go to heaven, and they disregard it and let it fly over their head, that they're going to step into eternity. They're going to take one step, and just like a sinkhole, they're going to fall through time, and they're going to be in eternity in just a snap of a finger. Just bam, you're in eternity. And if you die in your sins, you will be put in hell, and you will burn, and you will burn good. Now that's scary to me, and I don't say that flaunting anything or haughty or trying to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody to go to hell, but that's what God says. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In Luke chapter 16 says that the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, in hell. And that was not a parable the Lord was talking about. That was Jesus Christ telling a fact about something that literally happened. Excuse me. But the resurrection is a type of the new birth. And one thing that is beautiful about what the Lord has done for us is that we are resurrected at the time of the new birth. We're not, our bodies aren't literally resurrected. We're just as good as sitting in glory. Matter of fact, Paul mentions that we're in heaven with him already. And that we have hope. We don't have to worry about death. Because when our body goes to the grave, our soul goes to be with the Lord. We don't go in the grave. And we definitely don't go to hell. We go to be with the Lord because of what his Bible says, what the book says, what God's word says. Another thing that the new birth is described as is something called circumcision. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, "And whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, you say, Brother TV, what's that talking about? Well, of course it's not talking about the circumcision of a physical circumcision. It's talking about a spiritual circumcision. When the Holy Ghost, when you're saved and you're born again, God the Holy Ghost comes in and he circumcises, he parts and cuts away your body and your flesh from your spirit. And your soul, so that the flesh cannot affect them anymore. They're not attached to it anymore. And whatever that flesh does, it does on its own, and the spirit has nothing to do with it anymore. You're circumcised. It's separated. It's cut away. And there's nothing that your flesh cannot affect your soul anymore or affect your spirit anymore. Another thing that's the new birth is described as is it says begotten. The Bible says that begotten, being begotten, is a description of the new birth. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, we're not resurrected to we're resurrected to a lively hope, something that lives. God is a God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. And the Bible tells us there that the new birth is described as being begotten. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You see? And how do you do that? By the new birth. By the new birth. Another thing. That's not all. And here's one other thing that is described as the new birth, and that is your name is written in heaven. Your name is described as your name being written in heaven. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, it says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Remember what the Lord is talking about here. He sent his apostles out and gave them power over the devils and gave them power to heal and gave them power to do other things and whatever needed to be done to help the people. And they went out and they did what the Lord commanded them and helped and healed healed sicknesses and cast out devils and things like that. And when they came back, they were rejoicing. And they told the Lord, and they said, man, Lord, you should have seen it. The devils were even, we had power over the devils. And this is how the Lord answered. He said, this is kind of, I forget how you say that, but this is kind of in my words, my kind of elementary words. He said, don't brag on that. He said, what you need to brag on is this. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, he says. And then he says, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you and they obey you. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And you know something? That is described as the new birth, you see. Your name being written in heaven is a description of, your name being written in heaven is a description of the new birth, because unsaved people's name is not written in heaven. Unless the Lord has a log of people that go to hell. But I've not read about that. I've read about the people that are born again's name being recorded in the book of life. Now, there are other books up there that the Lord is called the book of works. And what that is your, matter of fact, your works used to be written down in there. All your works that you did, like stealing and lying and cheating and all this. And like January the 1st at 6:30, I don't know how the Lord put it down, but Thurman cussed at somebody. Thurman took the Lord's name in vain. And these things are called works, and they were written down. And in the end, at the white throne judgment, these book of works are going to be opened up, and this evidence that's in these works against everybody that's taken out of hell and fixing to be cast into the lake of fire is going to be used against them in court, in God's court. And it's not going to be to condemn them. They're already condemned. You see, all the people that are in hell right now and all the people that are going to hell, they've already been convicted. They're guilty. The only reason they're going to the white throne judgment is so that they can find out what the severity of their sentence is going to be. They're going before the white throne judgment for sentencing. Because there's different degrees of suffering and punishment. And the Lord said that. But we don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because we have been born again. We have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And that's what we trust in, is the Lord's blood to save us. And the Lord's going to keep His word with us. He already has kept His word with us. We've been born again. We've had the new birth because we have exercised faith in what God's word said about trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, that came to die, be buried, and resurrect. And I hope that you've done that. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? If you don't know you're saved, and the Holy Ghost is telling you right now that you need to be saved, you need to be born again, you need, while I'm standing here talking, you need to bow your head and say, Lord, as best as I know how, I ask you to come into my heart and save me, and I want to be saved. And Lord, I believe on Jesus Christ, that He came, your Son, that He came and died for my sins. And right now, as best as I know how, I'm exercising faith toward that and what your word has said. Please save me. And the Lord promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So would you be willing to do that? I don't know any reason why a person would not want to do it. Do you? A person is a fool to take a chance on going into eternity without Jesus Christ in the new birth. God has made a perfect plan of salvation that cannot be topped by anybody. Only God could have come up with this. And He said that if you exercise your faith and believe, He ain't asking you for nothing. He don't want nothing from you. He don't want nothing out of your bank account. Don't want anything from you. He wants to give you something. And if you believe on Jesus' name, He promises to save you. Now, whether you have any emotional or any kind of, we talked about all that, and the emotions and things like that, makes no difference. It's that you exercise faith toward what God has said. And if you'll do that, the Lord will save you, and then He'll show you that you are saved and that you are indeed born again and you have the new birth. He will show you that. Ask any Christian that knows that they're saved, and they'll tell you that the Holy Ghost will prove to you that you're saved, and that you will know, you'll see a difference in your life. You will know. But would you be willing to do that? I hope so. Well, let's move on. This is the last part of the study of the letter N, number 14. Of the new birth that I want to talk to you about. And all I want to do is go down through. There's a lot of scripture in these things that I'm going to talk to you about. And what I might do is make another short recording to give to you concerning these scriptures. I mean, there's like, 10 at least scriptures per category that I'm going to talk to you about here, at least, and around that. And I think it would be too many to try to get into this recording. We'll see. But what I want to talk to you about now is what things take place at the time of the new birth. Now, you that are saved, all of you that have been born again already, and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have God's promise that you're going to heaven, and hopefully you have been baptized. That ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. If you died right this second, you'd still go to heaven because of the new birth. Not anything to do with baptism. But the Lord commands us that we need to be baptized. and do it publicly. And if you've been born again, you haven't been baptized, get baptized and obey your Lord. But besides that, there are lots of things that took place when you were born again. And let me give you some of them. The first thing is something that's called justification. Justification took place whenever you were born again. The second that you were born again, that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and God the Holy Ghost entered into your body, what happened in you was justification. In your case, justification happened. And what is justification? The Bible talks about it a lot of different places. It talks about it in Romans all over the place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about it. Galatians chapter 2, and in Titus, it talks about justification. This took place whenever you were born again. Now, what is it? Well, it's the declaration that a man is righteous when he is not. It is a legal declaration of a person that is righteous when he really is not. Isn't that wonderful? That took place when you were born again. There was a declaration that you are righteous now when you're really not. Now, only God could do that, huh? And it ain't that easy to understand, but the Lord didn't say we had to understand. It's a mistake to think that you need to understand something to believe it. And you're going to have a hard time living for the Lord by faith if you think you have to understand everything that the Lord tells you to believe. But justification happened when you were born again. You became a righteous person in the eyes of God. That's beautiful. Another thing is called redemption. Redemption took place when you were born again. And if you're not born again, all these things will take place to you, and you listen to this, if you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every bit of this will take place. Some of it is legal, and you know, the Lord done this thing so that he could legally, with himself, forgive you and justify you and redeem you. See, the Lord couldn't do it unless he figured out a way for it to be done properly and him remain holy and deity. God's not going to compromise his holiness for anybody. He's not going to step out of line for anybody. And that's one thing that's wonderful about our God is that he can't be manipulated to do anything wrong, or even to think anything wrong, or to imagine anything wrong, or to speak anything wrong, or to make wrong decisions. I'm so glad that I serve a God like that, aren't you? But redemption took place. It's found in Romans. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the Ephesians, or in Ephesians, in Colossians, and it's found in Hebrews. Redemption. Now, when you say, what is redemption? Well, redemption is the payment that is made to buy the sinner back from the wrath of God. In other words, like I was talking about a while ago, you had a death sentence and you were condemned already. And you had a death sentence. It was just a matter of you stepping into eternity for it to take place. But when you got born again, when you got saved, the payment was applied. Redeemed is the payment that's made by the sinner back from the wrath of God. In other words, somebody took the payment of what it was going to cost to keep you from being under the wrath of God and taking you completely out from under the wrath of God. Somebody had to make a payment. And that's what. And when they picked that up in their hands and started to make the payment, that was called redemption. That is the redemption that bought you out from under the wrath of God. Now, the next thing that we're talking about that happened during your new birth is called propitiation. Propitiation. Now, there is a difference in propitiation and redemption, but all of these things I'm talking about work together, yet they are separate, and they mean separate things. Some of them are legally and God's courtroom, and some of it's like paperwork that has. I mean, it's the same thing as being somebody in a real courtroom. There's a lot of different things that got to happen in a real courtroom. You see, well, this is talking about the justice of God and the legalities of the Lord and Him and you being under the law and all kinds of things. But propitiation. This is found in the book of Romans. It's found in the book of 1 John. Propitiation. What is that? Well, propitiation is the price that's paid to satisfy the demands of an angry God against sin. Now, the difference between redemption that we talked about a minute ago, the payment made to buy the sinner back, and propitiation is that in redemption, the payment is actually made. Whoever the payee is takes the payment in his hand and he holds it out, or whoever the payer is, takes the payment and holds it out, and the one that's going to receive the payment is and reaches out to take the payment is the propitiation. In other words, redemption is the giving the payment and propitiation is the receiving the payment. In other words, God the Son made the payment, and He offered it to the Lord, to the Father. And the Father reached out and took the payment from the Son in your stead. And in propitiation, the difference between redemption and propitiation is that in redemption, the payment is made. In propitiation, the payment is accepted by God, and not only accepted by Him, but it appeases Him, it placates Him, and His anger. He's completely satisfied with the payment he received. That's called propitiation. Jesus paid it. The Father received it. Case dismissed. The payment's been made. But it's not only been made, it's been received. You see, if the Father wasn't satisfied with what the Son done, and it wasn't a good enough payment, then you would still be in a mess. So not only did justification need to happen, or redemption need to happen, the payment being made, but propitiation need to happen. The Father needed to receive it and be satisfied with it. Isn't that good? Now listen to the next one. The next thing that happened during your new birth was called remission. It's called remission. It's found in the book of Acts. It's found in the book of Romans. And it's found in the book of Hebrews. You say, well, what's remission? Remission is the payment for sin, that the payment of sin is applied to your account. And you are forgiven the debt that you owed. In other words, if Jesus made the payment, and the Father received it, but it was not applied to your account, then you're still in a mess. So remission had to happen. And what remission is that the payment that Jesus offered the Father, and that the Father received and completely was appeased by his anger was completely appeased, and he was satisfied with the payment. But yet, if it wasn't applied to your account and remission took place, then you would get no credit. You would still owe. You would be in debt to the Lord for your sin. You see. So remission took place. You was not only justified, you was not only redeemed by the payment that Jesus made, you was not only accepted through propitiation that the payment that Jesus made was good enough to redeem you, and the Father completely satisfied, but remission took place, and it was the payment that the Father accepted was applied to your account. You no longer are indebted to the Lord. You ought to be turning flips by now. Another thing that happened when you were born again is called expiation. Expiation. This is something that could not happen to the Old Testament saints. See, in the Old Testament, being born again or being saved was different than what you... Actually, you are very privileged to live in this dispensation. Because this is a dispensation of grace. All you have to do is receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and you're born again, and you have no other dealings having to do with your sin with the Lord. You are part of the family, you are a son of God, and you're adopted into the family, and you don't have to worry about doing or anything else happening. In the Old Testament, it was with works. It was faith and works. And whenever a righteous man was declared righteous and his works were righteous and he died, he went to paradise. And he was forgiven because he was forgiven. His sins were forgiven because he was righteous and he went to paradise, but they weren't taken away. The sins weren't taken away. They still had some legalities to them that had to be dealt with. That's why they had to go to paradise and could not go to heaven yet. Because they were forgiven because their works were righteous before God, and God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And they were righteous before God, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, they went to paradise because they were righteous before God. And God forgave their sins, but he could not take them away and completely destroy their sins and take them away and dispose of them. And there was legalities in that because there was no payment made. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, God forgave them and they went to paradise instead of hell. Because they were righteous before God, because of their works, and because of their faith. But God couldn't take away their sins. That's what's called expiation. It's found in Colossians, and it's found in Hebrews. And expiation is the act of purging or burning out or cleansing of sin completely. Sin is taken away completely, not merely just forgiven, based upon the actions of Christ on our behalf. It's taken away, and the Bible uses that term, taken away. You see, that's why when Christ made the payment, he died, he was 3 days in the grave, he rose again, and the first thing that he did while his body was in the tomb was he went down and preached to them in hell and also gathered up all of the saints that were in paradise there, that was across the gulf from hell, and the payment had been made now, so the sins could be taken away from every one of those individuals, rather than them just being forgiven, their sins could be taken away, and now they can go to heaven. So the Lord took them to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That's called expiation. In other words, you living in this dispensation, when you're born again, you don't have to go to paradise because the payment's already been made. And now that the payment has been made, when you are born again, your sins are not just forgiven, they are taken away. The Lord took them and put them in hell, into the deepest, darkest place. And they never, ever exist again. Another thing that happened at the new birth is something called imputation. Imputation. It's found in the book of Psalms. It's found in the book of Romans. It's found in the book of 2 Corinthians and also in James. Imputation is the act of God whereby he charges the sinner's sins to Jesus Christ. and whereby he charges the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the sinner. You see, all these things work together, but this is the very act that the Lord does, and he takes the innocent payment that he received from the Lord, and he actually applies it to your account, and then takes your sins and applies them to Jesus Christ. That's called imputation. He imputes to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ and imputes your sin and your guilt on Jesus Christ. Imputation. Another one, thing that happened at your new birth, when you were born again, when you believed on Jesus Christ, is called regeneration. It's found in John chapter 3. It's found in 2 Corinthians. It's found in Titus. And it's found in 1 Peter. Regeneration. Now, what is regeneration? Well, it's the act of salvation in which the Holy Ghost enters the sinner and gives him new life by a new birth. He regenerates you. A new spirit able to respond to the Holy Ghost is created within the sinner. Because, see, when you were born of the flesh, you were born with flesh. You were born with your soul, and also your spirit was dead. You had no way of communicating with the Lord. So when the Holy Ghost enters the sinner and gives him new life, he quickens him, makes alive his spirit to where you can respond to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good? The Bible says that if I could remember everything, I'd be good, wouldn't I? It says that the sinner, it says he receiveth not the things of God, that they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, he can't understand what God the Holy Ghost says or does because the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell in him, number one. And number two, he couldn't understand anyway because he has a dead spirit. And he can't understand spiritual things. That's why he thinks that spiritual things are stupid. And they're foolishness unto him, the Bible says. Another thing, not only imputation or regeneration, but there's another thing. It's called reconciliation. This is something that has happened also. It's talked about in Romans. It's talked about in 2 Corinthians and in Colossians and also in Hebrews, called reconciliation. This happened whenever you were born again. What is that? It's the act where two warring parties, you and God, whereas you were enemies and God was your enemy. See, that's something. This God is good. God is love. God don't hate anybody. Man, you better read your Bible. Or whoever you know that's saying that better read their Bible. Because the Bible says that the wrath of God abideth on them. And they are the enemies of God until they receive his Son. And if you die in your sin, you will die as an enemy of God. But the Bible says when you are born again, there's something that happens. It's called reconciliation. And in Romans and Corinthians and Colossians and Hebrews, it says the act whereby two warring parties, which are you and God, are brought together in peace. In other words, it ain't like a husband and wife when after you make reconciliation and you're arguing and fighting and then you make up and you tell one another you're sorry, but you're kind of looking at each other with one eye like, you better not ever do that again. That ain't the way God reconciles. When God reconciles with you, it's as if it never has happened at all. It's done. It is out of his mind. He said, I remember their, he said, their sins I will remember no more. He forgets on purpose, just like you ought to do. And he never bring it up again, ever. Not even think about it. Reconciliation. Aren't you glad of that? Another thing, you see all this stuff that happened when you got born again? And this is not even the rest of it. And that's not all. Another thing that happened was what we talked about called spiritual circumcision. Spiritual circumcision. It's found in the book of Romans, and it's found in the book of Philippians and also Colossians. And spiritual circumcision is the act where the Holy Ghost, he divides the new nature in the Christian from the body of sinful flesh. He cuts them apart. They're not attached together anymore. And it's so that no sin done in the flesh can affect the new spirit. You have been spiritually circumcised. And your flesh cannot affect your new spirit or your new nature at all as far as tainting it. That's why when you've seen those cartoons about a fellow standing there and he was tempted to do something and this little devil popped up on his left shoulder and the angel popped up on his right shoulder and them two battling one another for you. That's what's going on now. You see. Another thing is called adoption. Adoption. That happened to you at your new birth. Romans chapter 8. Now, all this is past tense if you've been born again. It's past tense. All this happened at one time. Did you know that? Adoption. It's found in Romans and Galatians and Ephesians. And you were adopted. And what is adoption? It's the act where God takes the sinner, he takes you, and puts you into his family at salvation. In other words, God is no longer your judge. He is your daddy, whereby we cry, Abba, which means an affectionate. Abba is an affectionate way to say father, like we say daddy. You've been adopted. You are a son of God. Now, you either believe the Bible or you don't. I do. And I'm glad. Another thing that happened, it's called sanctification. Sanctification is found everywhere in the Scripture almost. In Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Hebrews, a lot in Hebrews, and Jude. What's sanctification? Well, sanctification is the act where God sets a sinner apart. Sanctification means set apart. In other words, it's so that from then on, you're dealt with as a son instead of a stranger. It's God's attitude towards you now. You're not dealt with as a stranger outside of God's family. You're looked at as a son. Adoption was the very act of the Lord legally bringing you into his family. Sanctification is where the Lord affectionately takes you into his family and sees you as a son instead of a stranger. Sanctification. Now he's going to clean you up. Another thing is called glorification. That happened when you were born again. But it is not completely, you will be completely and completely glorified at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are glorified now, but we are not as glorified as we're going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. And this is found in Romans, and it's found in a lot of places. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, and Titus. And glorification is, it's the ultimate end of a saved sinner. In other words, when you were born again, you were put into the family of God. And since then, the Lord has been working on you, conforming you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's changing things in you and making you more holy and making you more, sanctifying you more, cleaning you up. And it's a process right now. But whenever the Lord comes back at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate end of the saved sinner, whereby you are made completely like Jesus Christ and given an inheritance with Him and His kingdom. That's called glorification. You already have the inheritance. It's coming to you. But you just don't possess it yet. You see? But that did happen. Well, a lot of good things have happened to us, huh? A couple more. Something that happened to you at your new birth. It's called incarnation. These are some of the... I'm sorry. These are some that I added to it that did happen, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Incarnation, that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy and Colossians and Isaiah and Matthew and Hebrews, it talks about incarnation. The Lord being incarnated into the flesh. God Himself incarnating into the person of Jesus Christ in a womb. Incarnation is the union of God and man in the person of Jesus Christ. God took on flesh, was incarnated, and God taking upon Himself a bodily form of a man and being born of a woman. That's called incarnation. Now, that happened before, but it happened for you, you see. So that actually become part of you when you were born again is the Lord's incarnation. That became your payment, was the Lord's incarnation. So it does have to do with this. Another one is called atonement. Atonement. It's found in Romans chapter 5. This means to make up for, or to compensate, or to make reparation for wrongdoing or causing offense. It's a covering for sin. It's mostly found in the Old Testament word with exception of one time in the New Testament. But atonement is mentioned in the Old Testament mostly, but it is mentioned in the New Testament in Romans one time, but it's mentioned over 81 times in the Bible. Atonement. And your atonement is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the Old Testament, they made atonement with their sacrifices. Or the Lord did. The last thing I want to talk to you about with these things that happened to you at the new birth, I hope that you're excited about this. There's a lot of stuff here, isn't there? Did you know these things? These are things that should be taught in the ABCs of Christian growth. These are things that 20 years ago, all the churches were teaching to people that had just been born again. And nobody knows these things. That's why you should know these. It's because they are the ABCs of Christian growth, and the devil does everything he can to keep you from knowing what has actually happened to you and happened for you. Now, the last one is called substitution. Substitution. It's found in the book of John. And substitution is the act of putting one thing or a person in the place of another. Just that simple. It's an exchange or a replacement or a switch. The Lord Jesus Christ was the innocent taking the place of the guilty. Substitution. It's a lot of stuff, huh? And that actually became part of your salvation, or it was part of your salvation at your new birth. So, there are some things that took place at your new birth. And if you've not been born again, I hope that you will, after hearing all of this, how could you not want to come to God? You should humble yourself and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and ask Him to forgive your sins and trust in Him and confess Him as the Son of God. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God saved me, He'll save you. So what did we talk about? We have talked about today some things that the new birth is described as, remember? And we also talked about what things take place at the time of your new birth. Justification, redemption, propitiation, remission, expiation, imputation, regeneration, reconciliation, spiritual circumcision, adoption, sanctification, glorification, incarnation, atonement, and substitution. The Lord handled it all, didn't He? That's why He said on the cross, it's finished. It is finished. One time for all, the Bible says, even for you and me, He died for us too. And you can take advantage of that. Matter of fact, He wants you to. Come and get it. Just don't make the mistake of falling into eternity in your sins. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to be born again now. So, all right, there we go. That's our study. That concludes our study. That concludes our study on the new birth, study number 14, and being born again. The ABCs of Christian growth of being born again. I hope that you enjoyed it. I have, and I've learned more and more since we're studying together. Every time I go over these, I learn more and more, and it seems like it solidifies, and the more you go over it, it saturates you with God's Word, and it becomes part of you. So, being born again, I hope that if you're not saved, that you'll get saved today. And you that are saved, I hope that what you've heard about what the Lord has done for you through this new birth, that you will dedicate your life to Him and you'll be devoted and your allegiance would be to Him. And I know that you will. So we'll go into the letter, let's see, ABCD, LMN, O. O is our next letter. That's study number 15. And we will begin that on our next program. So thank you for listening to this and being patient through this study. And thank you for honoring the Lord. God bless you. Let's live for Him and give Him glory. Bye-bye.